Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday night broadcast from Hillcrest Baptist Church in Augusta, Georgia. People have asked me, as a pastor and a minister, what's going on? In other words, what's next? At first, I kind of took that as a compliment because I thought, well, maybe this person's picking at my wisdom. Actually, they're trying to get an answer. And the truth of the matter is, I don't have the answer. I do know who does, and I know who will reveal it to us in due time, but I'm not asking you to answer that question as you listen. I'm just having you to think with me about what is next. When people say to me, hey, this whole thing, this virus and all of the quarantine, it's a game changer. You know what I have to say in response? No, it's not a game changer, because we've never played in a game like this before. Strangely, yet understandably, there seems to be no point of agreement on the next steps. Researchers want more research. Scientists want more science. Economists want more money. Experimenters want to experiment on anyone with anything that they think that might bring healing. Doctors, physicians, healthcare providers, they're applying their skills relentlessly, doing everything they can to restore the health of those who are suffering. Even bioethicists have gotten into it, arguing the, quote, do not resuscitate issues that are about us, trying to decide on the fate of those whose conditions do not respond to treatment. Folks, it's alarming. And I'm not here to bring bad news. I want to help us to better understand how to answer the question, what's next? Well, I want you to turn in your Bible with me if you've got one close. If not, I'm going to read a passage to you from the book of Hebrews. And it's really powerful because it has to do with the certainty of God's promise. In Hebrews chapter 6, beginning with verse number 13, the Bible says, when God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, I will give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what God promised. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his very purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. Now I'm in verse number 18. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. Now I'm going to stop and focus on verse number 19, Hebrews 6:19. Listen to it very, very carefully. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. As I look at that verse and I ponder the question, what's next? I've got to be able to look to the Lord God Almighty, because he's the only answer that we really have. And I want to take that verse, that 19th verse, and I want to kind of take it apart and for us to look at really how does this apply to our lives in being able to discover what is next and where are we going from this point. Well, let's stop for a moment. Let's look at that very first word, the word we. We. As I began in that verse a moment ago, it simply said, we have this hope as an anchor. But let's stop with the word we. It is a word that is very personal. It's not talking collectively for all of the citizens of the United States. It's not speaking to all of those who are part of the global impact and effect. The word we is speaking very directly to the family of God. So if you're a part of Hillcrest Baptist Church, it's speaking to you. If you're a part of a believing system in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this word is for you. You are the part of we. It is very, very personal. Even though it talked about and tracked the life of Abraham in the earlier portion of that chapter, it is reminding us that we too are a part of the power of the promise of God. So it is very personal. But you know what else? It's also very practical. When I look at that word hope, I'm reminded that it doesn't mean some things, and it does mean something. When we say hope, it's not just a matter of maybe crossing our fingers and looking to the future, maybe going to a palm reader or a crystal ball and saying, you know, I just hope this thing will work out. No, the word hope is assurance. It's expectation. The biblical meaning of hope is not wishful thinking. It is a rational, logical hope that finds its roots in God's love, His mercy, His grace, and salvation. In the past, yes, as He did with Abraham, and in the present today, as He's seeking to do it for us. Let me give a two-word definition of hope. Confident expectation. Confident expectation. Not, again, a matter of if it all falls into place and if we live right or if we do the right things. It's a matter of knowing that God has His hand on us. The very personal expression, we. He's talking to us. And it's very, very practical. He has the power of His very self. And it is that which we are experiencing right now. So it's very personal, we. It's very practical. It deals with hope. But let me take that word power and let's take it to a different level. It is also a promise that is very, very powerful. I'm going to go back to the passage in verse number 19 and repeat it, but I want to stop and emphasize one word. We have this hope as an anchor. An anchor. Some of you listening have certainly been a part of maybe the Navy, or you've been involved with boating most of your life. Every one of us has had some experience in understanding what an anchor is all about. When you let down an anchor, it is to be planted in a place where no matter what wind blows, no matter how the boat may shift from side to side, no matter how the current may take it to a different course, all of that is still anchored, and the boat remains where you put the anchor down. Now, God has put His anchor down. And here in America and Georgia and even in our Central Savannah River area, it is not just any anchor. Let's go back to the verse just for a moment. The verse says that we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. What is a soul? Well, some have said to me through many years of ministry, I hope I don't lose my soul. Soul is not just a part of our body. The soul is the very essence of who we are. We don't have a soul. We are a soul. God promises to take our soul to be with Him in heaven. As He looked at the thief on the cross, He said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And we're reminded in the book of Thessalonians, as the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, he said, someday, at the sound of the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ will rise up, and then we who are alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds. Now, I don't know exactly how that's going to look or what it's going to be in the way of personal experience, but I do know this, that the bodies that we have, no matter what shape or form they may be in the grave or walking on the globe, they're going to be caught up together with the soul that God has already taken to be with Him. If we've trusted Christ as our Savior, we don't have to think in terms of, I've got to have my old body back. No, God's got a brand new body for us. And in that in-between time, the essence of who we are, our soul, goes to be with the Lord. Now, folks, that's exciting. It's exciting. It's not a waiting period. It's not a purgatory, as some have prayed that they would get their loved ones through the purgatory time and pray them into heaven. We can't do that. We don't need to pray over the graves of our loved ones. We do need to pray for their lives right now as they are a part of this work and the need to invite Christ to be their personal Savior. But at this point in time, our soul is anchored in the Lord. How great is that verse? Powerful it is. Very, very powerful. So it is very personal, it's very practical, it's very powerful, but it's also very purpose-filled. What do I mean by that? Well, visit the verse with me one more time, okay? We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Now look how it's anchored. Firm and secure. The purpose of God anchoring us and offering us His very great gift of hope is that we would be firm and secure. Now, there are a lot of things that are undone right now. We don't know exactly when to shop, where to shop, how to shop, when we're ever going to be able to congregate back together as the body of Christ within our houses of worship and places of faith. But we do know this. We know that we are firm and secure in Christ. There's another promise in the Bible in John chapter 10. It says that nothing and no one can snatch us out of the hand of God. Isn't that good news? We can't be separated from God. We may let go sometimes of the grip that he has on us, but he never lets go of his grip on each and every one of us who've trusted in him. His word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. That same God who gives us the firmness and the security that we are desperate for in these days will never leave us or forsake us. Jesus said, his peace that passes all understanding will guard our heart and mind. Isn't that wonderful? What a great and powerful promise it is from the Lord God Almighty. I think it urges us into several actions. Here's what I'm saying. We need to reach. We need to take a reach. Here's what I'm asking you to do. If you're listening to this message, just put your hand out right now. I know I can't see you. You can't see me. But if you just put your hand out right now. Now, I want you to take that same hand that you put out from your body, and I want you to reach up. Reach up. Now, visually, and as an illustration, it is a reminder that we need to reach up. We need to pray. We need to not just complain. We need to talk to God. And God is the one who responds to us. He's the promise keeper. So, number one, reach up. Now, do this. Take that same hand that's reaching up and reach down. Reach down. If you've got your Bible close to you, go ahead and reach down and touch it right now. There's nothing magical about what I'm sharing with you. It's just that we need to reach down deep into the Word of God. It's not time to abandon what God's truths are for us. It's time to reach down into the Word and find out the deeper truths of what God is saying during these special days. Now, take your hand again. You've been reaching up, you've reached down, now reach out. Just reach out, probably where you started. This is a reminder to myself and to each of you that we need to be generous. We need to be people who are sharing the love of God. I don't know how God is guiding you to do that. Maybe through phone calls, texts, emails, in whatever way you can. Be an encourager. Be generous. Be generous to the work of God. Continue to give toward the ministry that God is blessing you with. And allow that opportunity to be expanded so that we can touch a world that is waiting for the answer to what's next. It's God's way of reaching out. Now, here's the last admonishment for my life and for you as I speak it out loud. Now, reach over. If you're sitting in a chair, just reach over the back of the chair, or reach over if you're sitting next to a loved one next to you. Just reach over them. Reach over. What am I saying here? I'm saying that we need to reach over the current crisis. Need to reach over it. Sometimes it's so overwhelming, the circumstances, everything that's about us right now, we seem to allow it to reach and touch and to completely absorb our life and our thinking. Well, we need to reach over it. So take those four ways of using your hand to remind you that we need to reach up to pray, reach down deeper into the Word, reach out to be generous to other people and to the work of God, and then reach over the current crisis. What we need to do is practice what I'm preaching. Let's do it this way. Let's reach up together. Would you join me for a moment of prayer? Father, we reach up to you right now and we thank you. We thank you that even though we cannot answer explicitly and directly the question of what's next, that we can put our trust and faith in you. Thank you, Lord, that you are our hope, you are our soul anchor, and that we are firm and secure in you in every way. So, Lord, we reach up. We reach up on the behalf of our church. We pray for those who are ill, those who are hurting, those who are lonely, those who are discouraged, and maybe some that are depressed at this time. Lord, we reach up to you and ask you to touch and bless them and to use this time to be an encouragement in their lives and not something that takes them farther away from you. Now, God, we reach up to praying for our nation and for the wisdom over our leaders, those within our own state, our governor and our president and our vice president, each of these that make important and very needful decisions. Oh, God, we reach up to you, asking you to reach down to them and endow them with the wisdom that they are desperate and need. God, this is your word, and it is about the faith that we have in your word. So bless what we've shared tonight and encourage us, because we know you know what's next. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.